Bible scriptures here on your notes, but it is important that you have your own Bible. Amen? Every one of us needs to have our Bible, and you young people need to make sure you have a Bible. Now, a lot of times I put our notes here, print them all out for us, but I'm afraid if we get too far away from having your own Bible, that we might get lazy. But let's go ahead now, and we're going to be in Revelation chapter 2, and we're dealing today with the Balaamites, the Balaamites. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. We thank you for the wondrous love that you've shown us, Father, that we are not worthy of. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for this church. We thank you, Lord, that you died for the church, that you love this institution. And we pray, Father, that we will walk in your ways, that you'd motivate us, Father. And thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name, our Lord. Amen. Our text is in Revelation chapter 2, verse 14. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. I want you to notice here that there is a prophet of God, a Gentile prophet, and he was one of those strange characters in the Bible, and we have them in history as well, where they are part wizard and part prophet of God, if you will. And it's not a good mix. It is not a good mix at all. And Balaam was one of these characters in the Bible. Now, what he did was he taught the king of the Moabites how to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. Now, this is implied in the Old Testament, but the Lord tells us exactly what happened. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, and he's telling us what exactly happened back then. And we'll show exactly how this came to pass. Now, if you're holding the doctrine of Balaam, I assume that means that you are casting a stumbling block before others. That you are going around telling them, it's okay, it's all right to sin, God doesn't care about these things, you don't want to be old-fashioned, you don't want to be a legalist, you don't want to be a Pharisee, and you're walking around and you are a Balaamite, you are bringing people into sin instead of talking them out of sin. Now, you have to ask a question here. Why would anybody do such a thing? Why would somebody want to talk others into sin? Well, one reason, to justify yourself. In watching Christians for 20 years or more, I've noticed that when new people come, the idea is to try to get them as worldly as you can, because you're talking people out of their zeal because you do not want the extra conviction in your life. That's one reason. The second reason is money. If you happen to be able to profit from telling people what they want to hear in their flesh, then that is the doctrine of Balaam. Preachers, teachers, whether they are in churches or radio or TV, on the internet, they might profit from selling people justification for sin. Now, there is no real justification for sin, but you will find the more convincing a preacher can make justifying your sin, the more money he can make. Now, this is quite an art, being able to justify sin. Now, Balaam, he was a master wizard and a master at justifying sin. And he lost his life over it. There are preachers that know God. They know that Bible to some degree. And they know it just enough to know how to convince people that they don't have to follow it. And you can make a lot of money. You can make a lot of money. If you have a good personality, if you're charismatic, if you can speak in a convincing way, and you have that type of mind, like the lazy person in the book of Proverbs does, he's wiser than seven men that can render a reason. If you have that wit about you that can justify things, you can make a lot of money. You go to hell, but you can make a lot of money. Jude says, woe unto them, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. There it is. There's the Bible telling you what's going to be in the last days, what's going to be in the churches, what kind of preachers you're going to have throughout the land in the last days. Many of them will run greedily, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. So this is another divine testimony of Balaam's sin. What did Balaam do? He ran. Now remember that. I have it underlined here. Ran greedily after the error of Balaam. What did Balaam do? Balaam ran greedily for reward, bribery, reward. He ran greedily after it. Now, with this Holy Ghost commentary on the text I'm about to read, let us go back in the Old Testament and read the text. The Bible tells us in the New Testament that all these things were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Look at Numbers chapter 22. The children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab. Okay, Moab, on this side Jordan, by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people, because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. They'd conquered so many people, they had this power, and Moab now was afraid. So what are you going to do if you're the king of Moab? You're going to find a wizard somewhere. Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are around about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. Wow. King of Moab says, now everybody knows that you are a master wizard. Everybody knows that whoever you want to curse is cursed. Everybody knows that whatever king comes to you and is able to pay for your services, they will be blessed. And that you have the ability to curse people with your witchcraft. It's interesting that he says, whom thou blesseth is blessed, and whom thou curseth is cursed. Because God said about Israel the very same thing. They that bless you, I will bless, and they that curse you, I will curse. And we have entered into that promise as the people of God today. And if we are walking in the fear of God and the blessing of God, if we are walking in this covenant, then the same thing will be true for us. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. In other words, let's find the diviner, let's find the wizard, and let's pay him money. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. Now notice, this is not an ordinary wizard. This is a wizard that knows the Lord to some degree. He knows the Lord to some degree. And he starts off well. He says, let me find out what God says about this. Now imagine you have some idea or some plan in your life, but you don't go to the people that could actually help you discern the will of God for your life, you don't even go to God Himself and ask Him through prayer. You don't go through the church. You don't go through the council. You don't go through the people that God has appointed to help you. You just make these decisions. And that's a sign of forwardness and self-will and presumption. And it's a sign of immaturity. And really what it is a sign of is you don't want to know the truth. The Bible says the fool will not go to the wise. The wicked will not go to the wise. If you say, why didn't you go ask so-and-so? Why didn't you ask your father? Why didn't you ask your pastor? Why didn't you ask the mature Christians in your life? As you look down, the answer will be, I know what they would say. I see. You know what they'll say. So you've got it all figured out in life. You've got it all figured out. Well, Balaam starts off well. Balaam says, I'm going to ask God what He thinks about this. I mean, wow. If we could just live like Balaam so far, that would be good for many Christians. If we can just get this far, let me see what God says about it, brother. What does He say in the book? And it's good to go to others and say, what do you see here that I'm missing? The Bible says, pastors, watch for your soul. Praise God for the fact that I have wise men that I can go to, and it's important for us. And God came unto Balaam. He came to Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. God says, I'm not going to get into the whole story here, but you don't want to mess with those people. They're different than anybody else in the world. You don't want to mess with them. And Balaam rose up in the morning, so far so good, and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. Wow. So this fella not only went to God, he not only heard from God, no, you shall not curse them, but he got up in the morning and went to those people and said, you got to get out of here. Going back home. God told me no way. God told me no way. Oh, that young people would learn to at least be this much holy, to learn to basically have this conviction to be able to go tell the world, no, go home, get away from me. God has told me no. God has told me I am not to participate in that. God has told me I'm not to be around you. So go, get you to your land. Depart away from me. Remember, David says, I will not know a wicked person, especially one trying to get me to do something like that. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went to Balak and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. Uh-oh. What's Balak going to do? Well, Balak is desperate, see. And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. So he brought more of them and ones that are higher up in office. Now this is getting very serious. Because as you get higher up in office, you get a lot more money, see. There's some funny little clips that you can see online where little children are asked questions like, make sure that you don't tell anybody because they will eat me. So then somebody comes up and says, I give you $20. If you'll tell me. They say no. What about $40? And you see them start to think about it. And you see these little kids, 6 years old, that once you up the price, begin to kind of grab their lip and stroke their chin and say, okay, okay. In other words, they can be bought. At 6 years old, they say, no, no, I'll never do such a thing. No, and then basically you just up the price and they're like, okay, I will. Well, that's what's happening here. What is your price? What is your price? What does the devil have to offer you to betray God? Or just justify sin? I pray that you'll be able to tell the devil, no price, no price, no price. It's not worth it. I've never seen a person in the Bible follow the devil and not get cursed in the end. See, Balaam got cursed. Balaam got cursed. Read about the kings of Israel. Read about how they decided to go against their father. Read about how they decided to walk in the new way of sin and occultism in the high places, and watch how some of them, 3 months later, they're dead. Wow. And as we were studying the Bible, we said, why is this? Why did God allow some of them to endure and some of them He just cut down quick? You'll notice that many times the ones that had the light, God didn't mess around with. If your daddy was holy and you decided to mess around and just start walking into sin, God just, He just cuts them down, oftentimes, immediately. Well, what did they say? They come into Balak, the son of Zippor, and they said, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Hey, sister, talk about conviction. Talk about taking a stand. If you had the highest princes of the world coming to you, say, I'll give you some money if you'll just lie about that preacher. I'll give you some money if you'll just sin. I'll give you some money if you'll just compromise your standards. I'll give you money if you'll just leave that church and leave your fundamental convictions and just start living a little more worldly. I'll give you money. And what if you said, no way, I'm not going to do such a thing? Then what if they brought the highest leaders of the land and they said, I mean, they come up in their limousines and their black suits and they come out and they say, you don't understand the money we're offering you right now. We're not asking you to do anything really, really bad. We're just asking you to help us out a little bit. Just backslide a little. Now, they're not going to come up. Well, they might. But you're not going to necessarily have the devil appearing in that form. But you can be sure, if somebody's trying to bribe you, it's the devil. It's the devil. And listen to Balaam. He says, I got my foot on the rock. No, I've got my mind made up. If you gave me all the gold that's in his house, I'm not going to compromise. Uh-oh. That sounded pretty good. But I think it was more talk than it was anything. Uh-oh. Look at verse 19. Now therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. Well, that's a problem, isn't it? That's a problem. It's almost like he says, I don't care if they give me all the gold in his house. I'm not going with you. He kind of looks. He begins to think. So I tell you what I'll do. Let me go ask God one more time. Hey, do you need to ask God one more time whether to be a fornicator or an adulterer or a drunkard? You need to ask God one more time about it? Hey, fellow, when God shows you something in the Bible, that thing's clear. Amen? You don't got to keep going back over it. See? And to listen to the devil, Eve should have not sat and listened to the serpent. See? She should never have had a conversation with the serpent. Because what he did was he tricked her. He said, look over here. Now look at this. Isn't it nice? He said, don't eat it. You know, but God, he's old-fashioned and extreme and just, you know, a little bit crazy. But look at this thing. It's obviously good for food. I mean, if you're smart as me, you'd know that's good for food. In fact, I really know why God doesn't want you to eat it. He doesn't want you to be a god. But if you eat it, you'll find out that you're a god, see? And when Eve saw that it was good for food, she began to eat. "You shall not surely die," said Lucifer. No, don't play around. The Bible says flee idolatry, flee fornication, flee all of these things. Get away from the devil. That's the problem with a lot of people. They sit and put a lot of junk in front of their eyes and then they wonder why they don't have any power to resist it. You want to listen to the world sing about sin? You want to listen to the world sing about fornication and adultery and living the worldly life? No wonder you want to be worldly. Why don't you get away from that junk? The biggest problem we have in America, churches, American churches today, is no role models. That's the biggest problem. Girls don't know what to be. So I've tried to raise up a new generation that says, you've got to be the leaders. You've got to stand up and be the leader. You've got to grow up and be the leaders for everybody else. That's a hard thing for people to do. That's a hard thing. But hey, praise God, there's people in the Bible that did it, Brother Lando. Praise God, Josiah. Praise God, Hezekiah. Praise God, they had generations of their daddy and their daddy and their daddy and their daddy that lived like hell. And praise God, they stood up and started reading the Bible. They said, we hadn't been following it. Grandma hadn't been following it. Great-grandma hadn't been following it. I don't care what you call me. We're going to put down the sodomites. We're going to put down all of these high places that everybody justifies. And we're not going to do this anymore. Oh, and God blessed them. You know what God said to them? God says, I was fixing to curse this whole place. And I'm still going to curse it, in spite of the fact that you're reviving. Yeah, I'm still going to curse it. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wait before I curse it till you grow up and live a good life. Then I'm going to curse it. That's exactly what God did. All right, moving along here. I want you to notice something now. Pray ye tarry, ye also here this night. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, now notice how God does this thing. If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt do. Sister, what do you see in the Word of God there? There's a two-letter word. What is it? It's underlined. It's if. You see that, Brother Sopek? It's if. Now, y'all see that word if right there? A lot of people can't see that word. A lot of people can't see that word, see. There are Christians. There's Christian pastors that can't see the word if. They can't see all the ifs in the Bible. If the men come to call thee. Verse 21, and Balaam got up that morning and waited patiently for the men to come and call him. You're awake, Church of God, or are you daydreaming? Is that what it says, Brother Orlando? Thank you. Brother Orlando's awake. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. Brother, do you see anything in between verse 20 and verse 21 where it says Balaam obeyed the if? Is there anything there, Brother Sopek? All right, so Balaam, you know what he did? God threw a test out to him because God knew he was in the flesh. So God said, I tell you what, sister. I tell you what, brother. I tell you what, Mr. Balaam, I'm sure that God didn't call him mister, but you understand my point. I tell you what, if the men rise up and call thee, you can go. Balaam didn't wait. Hey, why didn't Balaam wait? Because the book of Jude said he ran greedily after the heir of what? He ran greedily after reward. He ran greedily after reward. You know why he didn't wait? Because he was in the flesh. He didn't wait because he wanted it so bad, he was willing to justify sin and ignore what God had said. And this is how we get in the Bible. Oh, it says right there in the Bible, Jesus drank wine. Because you're in the flesh. Because you're in the flesh. It says here, well, doesn't it say in the Bible that this is how you ought to dress? Doesn't it say in the Bible that we should not do this? Doesn't it say in the Bible, set no wicked thing before your eyes? Doesn't it say in the Bible that we ought to separate from people that are taking the name of the Lord in vain? Doesn't it say in the Bible we ought not look at magic and things like that? Oh, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Because you're in the flesh. That's why. Because you're in the flesh. And God's anger was kindled because he went. Yes, because he didn't follow the condition. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. How merciful of God to try to hinder. When you get in the flesh, God will try to hinder you. When you get in the flesh, God in his mercy will try to hinder you. But then you keep on going. You keep on pushing it. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. And the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyard, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw that the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further. Look how God is doing everything he can right here to try to hinder the madness of this prophet, his lust, his greed. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn, either to the right hand or to the left. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. And she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? Now Balaam, he's so mad, so full of greed and lust, and so frustrated right now, that he doesn't even realize the ass is talking to him. So he begins to argue with the ass. Because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay, you've never done this to me before. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. And unless she had turned from me, surely now I had slain thee and saved her alive. Wow. Well, the story is, God says, now go on down the road and meet with these people. But you say only what I tell you to say. Now Balaam's in a mess. He is in a mess. He wanted this money so bad. He wanted this power and money so bad. But now God is just chasing him down. I mean, opening the mouth of his ass to basically tell him no, getting in his way, telling him no. Don't you feel like God sometimes is on your tail? Don't you feel like sometimes that even if you wanted to sin, God would be on top of you just trying to stop you and trying to hinder you? Isn't it good to know the Lord really goes the extra mile to try to stop you? Don't you feel sometimes like others can get away with things, but you can't get away with it? Hey, that's a good thing, folks. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. So now Balaam's like, now what do I do? Now what do I do? Well, what's going to happen is this. Balaam, three times, is going to go up to those high places of Baal, and he's going to tell that king, I can't do anything but bless Israel. And each time, that king is going to get frustrated and almost pull his hair out and say, I brought you up here to curse Israel, and now you're blessing them. So the king each time says, let's go to a different place. It must be that the vibration here isn't right. Let's go to another place and maybe we'll get lucky there. See, he was superstitious. So he kept making Balaam go to another place to see if maybe then the magic would work better. But each time Balaam says, there's no enchantment against Jacob. I can't curse him. There's nothing I can do. Well, the king gets frustrated. It says, can you at least take your blessing off of them? I mean, I brought you out here to curse them, and now you've blessed them. Can we at least get rid of the blessing? Balaam said, there's nothing I can do. I'm sorry. So as the king was about to leave, Balaam says, hey, come here. I can't curse these people, but I want your money. And I can't curse you. I want your money. So if you give me the money, I got another plan. See, I got to stay right with God. And I can't get in trouble. I'm going to obey God. But I want the world also. So I know what I'll do. I know how you can accomplish what you want to accomplish, and I can get rich at the same time. All right, what's your plan? Give me the money first. All right, you can have all this gold. Okay, here's the plan. Just bring some Moabite women. Have them come out. Dress like worldly women do. And let them get out there and do some of that ooga booga music or whatever it is and have them dance to it. And what'll happen is they get out there that ooga booga music or whatever it is and they start dancing. Them Israelite men, they'll go out to them and start looking. And after a while, they'll end up in sin. And then Moabite women will lead them into idolatry. And before you know it, Israel will be walking in idolatry. And Balak's saying, I'm trying to understand. I'm trying to understand the point. You're wanting us to give up women? I don't understand the point. And he's like, okay, listen. When they start walking in sin, God will kill them. You don't need me to curse them. God will judge them. Balak says, I get it. I totally understand it. Good plan. Here's the money, and this is exactly what we're going to do. And that's what they did. As our Lord Jesus says, you have those among you that hold the doctrine of Balaam who taught Balak to offer a stumbling block, to put a stumbling block before the people of Israel to commit fornication and eat things offered to idols. You have that same spirit in your church. People that go after the little ones and want to teach them it's okay to sin. They're Balaamites, says the Lord Jesus. And you're a pastor. You have to root out the Balaamites. It's the Balaamites that are teaching my people to commit fornication and that it's okay to be worldly. So what did Balaam do? He used his knowledge of God and God's ways in a deceitful manner. Sometimes when Christians go to church a long time and they grow up in a Christian family, they get really skilled in how to talk themselves into sin. And a lot of times the worldly people want to be around the Christian that's been homeschooled but wants to backslide, because the Christian that's been homeschooled that wants to backslide, the Christian that's been raised in a Christian family or a strong church, is really, really smart. And sometimes they know too much in a bad way. They know how to justify things in ways the world doesn't even know. And Balaam says, I think this is how I can do it. I can get the money. All God said was simply, don't curse the people. He didn't say I couldn't show them some information how they can be cursed. You know what the Lord Jesus calls this? Following the letter and not the spirit of the law. If God said don't kill, He obviously means don't hurt somebody. Amen? All these people that say, well, it wasn't exactly adultery. What did God mean when He gave you the command? They had this little game they could play in the New Testament where they didn't have to take care of their old parents. And they found out a way to get around the law. They said, where's it say in the Bible? I've got to take care of them. The Lord Jesus said, you never read honor your father and mother? Obviously, it's implied in that command what he meant. The Lord said, take care of people and help them on the side of the road. Do good unto your neighbor. Love your neighbor. But one Pharisee, willing to justify himself, said, who's my neighbor? What is the spirit? What did God mean when he wrote it? People, that's what God is going to get onto us about. God's going to bring a lot of verses before our remembrance. He says, what do you think I meant by that verse? You said, be not a whore. It's okay to dress like one. I wasn't a whore. People, we got a problem, don't we? What did God say in the book? What did he mean when he said it? Why does he have to... You know what? When people get in the flesh, that's how they do. Well, show me where it says that. Show me where it says that. Well, it doesn't exactly say that. Yeah, that's what Balaam did. If you would ask Balaam, what are you doing, Balaam? He said, I'm showing the king how he can curse the people. Oh, I see. Well, what'd God say to you? God just told me, basically, not to curse them myself. I got you. I'm not doing the cursing. I'm just telling them how they can do it. Hey, you know what? David showed somebody how he could take that man, his faithful man, Uriah, and have Uriah out there to put him on the front line. And then when you get him on the front line and the battle's rough and the battle is fierce, back up away from him and retreat and leave him out there by himself and having to fight. And who knows how long, how valiantly Uriah began to fight when all these people were coming left and right and he was fighting. He was fighting for the Lord and for David. And that man was slain. Was he slain by David's sword? No. But you know what God said? God said, you murdered that man. You murdered him. You know what God's going to say to Balaam? You cursed this people. You cursed this people. No, I didn't curse them. I just told them how to put a stumbling block before them. See, in the Bible, if you put a stumbling block before somebody in a high way, you take responsibility for their sin. Oh, did he have an incredible ability to justify sin? He wanted to make the pagans happy, but he didn't want to get in trouble with God, and that's how a lot of Christians are today. How can I make the world happy? How can I make the backslidden carnal Christians happy, but also please those that are trying to serve God? Oh, I'm just in such a mess. How can I make them both happy? Hey, can two walk together lest they be agreed? You can't make them both happy. You understand that? You cannot make them both happy. You can't serve two masters. You're going to hate one and love the other, says Jesus. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve Jesus and the world. You're going to make somebody upset. Choose you this day whom thou shalt serve. But I'm making a choice for my house. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord as much as lieth within me. But you children, to a large degree, we daddies can do what we can to ensure outward conformity. But you've got to give God your heart. You've got to give your daddy your heart. You've got to give the Lord your heart. See? Otherwise, you're just serving God as long as your daddy's looking. See? But your heart doesn't want to serve God. Balaam was willing to do right, but only so far as the bribe went higher, he had his price. But even then, he didn't want to sin. So he thought in his mind that he could find a way to get the best of both worlds. As Poole says, thus he sought to make God and his conscience stoop to the service of his pride and covetousness, which was abominable. God told him, if the man rise up and call thee, then you can go. But you know the way Balaam interpreted this? I think God, what he meant was, I think what God meant was that I could go with the men as long as I don't curse Israel. There's a big problem. You know what Balaamites do, brother? Balaamites justify sin. Balaamites are in the flesh. And Balaamites are presumptuous. And Balaamites seem to have a problem with specifics, with details. The Bible just said, don't get drunk. No, the Bible says, look not at the wine. Lot's wife told four things. Get thee out. Get you to the mountain. Etc., etc. Oh, there was the fourth thing. Don't look behind thee. Do you know Lot's wife obeyed everything? Everything? Lot's wife. And the Lord says, remember Lot's wife. Do you know Lot's wife obeyed everything? Just that one little thing, don't turn around and look behind thee. She got three out of four commands. But that one little one was really a big one. And she says, well, I'm doing pretty good. I'm not a bad Christian. I'm getting out of Sodom. I mean, come on, did I not come out of Sodom? I mean, I did all of this stuff. You saw me leave out of Sodom, right? I'm out here, aren't I? What more do you want? Sweetheart, he said, don't turn around. Please don't turn around. I can just imagine her stomping her feet. I left everything. My children are back there. My Sodomite children are back there. Don't you know that's everything I know? I've got my malls back there. I've got my shopping. I've got so much back there. Everything. And I don't have any ticks over it. Everything. That's Sodom. That's wonderful. Come out here, going up to this old mountain and everything. And where? What are we going to do? Where are we going to go? Where are we going to eat? Where are our friends at? Please don't turn around. He said, the angel said, don't turn around. She turned around. She turned around. See, she wasn't a fundamentalist. See, she was an evangelical, new evangelical. She said, I'm going to obey three of them. I'm just not going to obey that one. So she turned around and immediately turned into a pillar of salt. And the Lord said, remember Lot's wife. I'm not playing around. This isn't a game. Well, Balaam, like Lot's wife, is playing games. He seems to have a little bit of trouble getting the exact scripture straight, doesn't he? The Lord said, if the men rise up and call thee, go with them. But Balaam says, oh, he just really means to go. No, that's not what God meant. God meant what he said. Look at Numbers 24. And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not, as at other time, to seek for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. I wanted to show you in our King James Bible that Balaam was part prophet of the Lord, part wizard. He was a prophet that was involved in enchantments. There are some good prophecies that Balaam prophesied. He prophesied the star that's going to accompany. He prophesied the coming of the Messiah. Look at chapter 24. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. And Balak said unto Balaam, I call thee to curse my enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Therefore now flee thou to thy place. I thought to promote thee into great honor, but lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. Isn't that interesting? You know what the world will try to do to get you to sin? They'll try to manipulate you. Well, okay, Timmy, if you want to be a little baby, well, then you just go ahead. The rest of us are going to go have fun. But if you want to be a little baby and obey your mama, then you go ahead and do so. Boy, it'll get rough sometimes, won't it? I mean, the world will put it on you, brother. Look what they did to Balaam. Well, I was going to bless you, but since the Lord wants to curse you, then go ahead with your little fundamentalist time. Go ahead. You're not going to have any fun. I mean, you were going to be worldly. You were going to be rich. We were going to take care of you. You're going to be a supermodel. But since you want to have that little world, go ahead. Go ahead. Take your little church and live like some old granny somewhere. Go ahead. If you want to live like you're in the 1800s, go ahead. But I was going to let you experience the real world. Well, Balak stands up to it. Balaam stands up to it. If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I already told you this, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord. And now, behold, I go unto my people. Come, therefore. Before I go, I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. So Balaam said, I guess what? I already told you I'm not going to do it if you gave me all the silver and gold in your house. But I tell you what, I'm going to show you what Israel is going to do to your people. So I got one more thing to show you here before you leave. You know, I imagine he took the king over separate from some people. Said, look here now. Let me tell you what Israel is going to do to you. But I got something else to tell you too. Just settle down. Just come with me. Come with me. You'll like it. Come with me. Now, really, it's going to be bad. In the end, they're going to whoop you pretty bad. But listen, the reason I brought you over here was if you give me that money and you want to take some Moabite women, we can work out a deal. What kind of deal are you going to work out with the world, sister? Because the devil will come. I don't know in what form. He came to Eve in a serpent, which was some kind of walking cow at the time. I don't know what form the devil will come to you, Junior. Caleb? Nina? Kayla? But he's going to come to you. And it's going to sound good. He's come to me several times. And when he comes, it's going to seem irresistible. But you've got to say, no, I'm going to trust God. Because the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. And I promise you, no matter how good he makes the deal, in the end, you're going to say, I was cheated. And he's going to say, well, what'd you think I was? I'm the devil. There's an old story that my great-great-great-great-great-grandpappy made a deal with the devil. I walked into a store the other day. They said, oh, wow, what a name. Have you been talking to the devil lately? Said, actually, he invented the printing press, and they just thought he was a wizard. No, basically, if you go read the old story, they say that he was very mad at the devil in the end. He was very, very mad, because he says, it's no fair. You gave me everything. You made me a great healer. You made me a great scholar. You made me a great whatever, 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 whatever. But guess what? You lied. You lied. It went so fast. Before I was able to even enjoy it. Now you're here to take my soul. So that's the tragedy of the story. But I'm going to tell you, whatever truth is in that story, I'm going to tell you this. The devil will make it seem sweet, but he's going to be a liar. Nobody will take the devil's bait and not in the end say, I can't stand this. You're a liar. I did not get what you said I was going to get. And the devil might be able to say, well, you most certainly did. I had a worldly girl one time that was very worldly in church. Meaning a sister in church. And the whole time she was here, she didn't want to be here. And she hated it and says, this is the most miserable thing that I could ever do on earth is be in this church. And she called me many, 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 many years later to tell me that she hated being in church. That it was the most miserable thing that she could ever, ever have to put up with. And I knew she was miserable. She'd sit back there with her arms crossed and huffing and puffing and rolling her eyes. She hated it. So she went out and got the world. All that the world is going to offer you. Of course, she'll never get it like Solomon, Brother Orlando. You know that? You'll never get the world like some people. But you want drugs, you want a party, you want a sleazy lifestyle, whatever you want, the devil will give you. Maybe. And she called me up many years later, basically saying, I'm very, very confused because I got all of this and I was finally away from that church that I thought was the most wicked thing that I hated on earth. And those were the happiest days of my life. Why is it that now when I look at everything, that's when I was the most happiest? I said, oh, that ain't nothing, sister. When you're happy, many times the devil tries to tell you you're not. Prodigal thought he was unhappy at his father's house till he found out what eating pig food's really like, huh? And she finally says, I wasn't mad at you. I was mad at God. I now realize that whole time I was just rebellious, mad at God. Praise God that you can come to that understanding before you die. Praise God you can come to that understanding. She didn't know the next year she'd be dead, see. What am I saying to you? I'm saying when the devil knocks on your door and says you're living a miserable life, aren't you? I can give you a lot of fun. What you need to, number one, don't even talk to the devil, but you need to tell your flesh, I'm probably a lot happier than I know. And I'm a lot happier than I would be serving the devil, that's for sure. Paul said, this is true joy, the testimony of our conscience. When you're doing right, there's no greater joy, folks. Well, quickly, Numbers 25, and Israel abode in Shittim. And the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Now between that last verse and chapter 25, verse 1, we don't know what happened. But we do know from the Lord Jesus Christ what happened. Balaam made a deal with the king of King Balak. And they called the people into the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. Now watch that, Baal Peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined into Baal Peor. And those that died in the plague were 20,000. Vex the Midianites and smite them, for they vex you with their wiles, wherewith they have beguiled you in the matter of Peor. Who taught the Midianites? Oh yeah, it worked. God killed 20,000 Israelites. And I bet the kings were high-fiving one another. The princes. Micah says, oh my people, remember how that Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim and to Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord. God could have wiped out Israel, but you still need to remember that he smote 20,000. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown said, instead of open war, they plot insidious ways of accomplishing your ruin by idolatry and corruption. Numbers 31, and they slew the kings of Midian. Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. It was time. God said, render judgment upon Balaam, the wizard prophet. Why did God slay Balaam? Because Balaam taught Israel, taught the Moabites to cast a stumbling block. Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. So it's even implied in the Old Testament how this came to pass in Numbers 31. Now look at Revelation 2 again. I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Now don't miss this. The Jezebel spirit does the same thing. He goes on to say, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, and what does she do? Teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, eat things sacrificed unto idols. The Jezebelites do the same thing as the Balaamites. Isn't that interesting?
A Jezebelite who's walking in the spirit of Jezebel says, you don't have to worry about that. You can dress like a harlot. You can do this. You don't have to separate. You can these things don't matter. You can date and do all these other things and watch television shows where they're kissing and dating and stuff. That's okay. That's the spirit of Jezebel. And the Jezebel spirit is just like the Balaam spirit. The Jezebelites seem to do it because they're just plumb rebellious. The Balaamites seem to do it for money. But I'm not going to make too sharp of a distinction there. 2 Peter 2 is going to tell us all about these Balaamites. Chiefly them that walk after the flesh, that's what Balaam did, and the lust of uncleanness, despise government. Balaam certainly despised the Lord's authority. He didn't say that he was doing that, but he was. Presumptuous are they. Balaam was presumptuous. Self-willed, that was Balaam. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of righteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. That's what Balaam's doctrine did. He said, just go seduce the Israelites and God will kill them. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. So they had the dancing girls come out and say, it's okay, it's okay. Come out to us. They began to worship Baal Peor. They began to worship Baal Peor. Who's Baal Peor? The Balaamites will have you serving not Jesus, but Baal Peor. It says in Hosea 9, they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves into that shame, and their abominations were according as they loved. Somehow or another, following Baal Peor brings you into a lot of sin. Psalms 106, they joined themselves also unto Baal Peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and plague brake in among them. Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, so the plague was stayed. And that was counted unto him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore. Oh, Phinehas took a javelin, and he took off running, and he stabbed some fornicators. And everybody just kind of stopped. And God said, what he did was good. What he did was good. What he did was right. For his zeal, I'm going to bless him. For his zeal. He saved many people alive for his zeal. The plague was stayed. Deuteronomy says, your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God had destroyed them from among you. But ye did that. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Those that did not go the bad way. I'm sure the people that went out to the Moabite women said this. They said, listen, the God of the Moabites is the same God as ours. The worldly God is the same as our God. You could call him Jehovah, or you could call him Baal Peor. It doesn't matter. We're going out and worshiping God. No, you're running around half naked with some really bad music and they're like, you know what? It's all the same. In my heart, I'm serving Jesus. Baal Peor. Micah says, the heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. How do you know if you're a Balaamite today? A Dictionary of Christian Biography in 1877 says, Balaamites are ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Woe to them. They've gone in the way of Cain and run greedily after the error of Balaam. As in the Old Testament history, Balaam is a representative of a class who, claiming prophetic power, debased divine inspiration to the suggestion of sensual and covetous practices. They encouraged among the Christians the practices to which the Moabites had encouraged the Israelites. They advised and introduced, after the example of Balaam, a false freedom, a freedom of the flesh. So in other words, the Balaamites in the days of that church said, it's all right to walk in these sensual ways. G.H. Pember, in the Great Prophecies of 1881, says the guileful plan of Balaam was speedily carried out. Idol festivals with all their sensual attractions were held within easy distance of the camp in the wilderness. The curiosity of the Israelites was excited. The feeling which had prompted them to eat and drink and play before the calf was again aroused. Many of them went to see the site. And perhaps to their surprise, I mean, I imagine many daddies said, don't even go down there. Don't go down there to the camp. Don't even go over there. But they were received as friends by the Midianites and invited to join the revel. Surely they could do so. And yet neither worship Baal nor provoke Jehovah. We're just participating. And after all, Jehovah and Baal, what were but different names for the same supreme being, right? And the Midianites were serving him according to their light. Why are you around these Sodomites? Oh, well, they're just trying to serve God according to their light. I'm just trying to be a light with them, for them. By such thoughts, it may be, Israel was enticed within the circle of heathen abominations and entered the fatal precincts surrounded, as the people of God always are if they willfully approach temptation, by hosts of evil spirits watching for an opportunity of hurling them over the precipice as soon as they could see them near the brink. Perhaps for a short while, they thought that they would only look on, but the allurements of sin quickly overcame them. They were soon feasting at the rich table of Baal and becoming fascinated with the seductions of the daughters of Moab. Meanwhile, the Lord in the heavens was whetting his glittering sword, bending his bow, and preparing his arrows upon the string against his own rebellious people. This history seems to have been repeated at Pergamos, for after a bitter persecution, the pagans were changing their tactics and endeavoring under a friendly guise and by the attractive sensuality of their worship to lure away those believers whom they had failed to move by fear. And doubtless the Gnostics, unwearying mediators between paganism and a careless Christianity, had crept in among the disciples and were so bewildering them by skillful blendings and explanations that they were gradually yielding and allowing themselves to be drawn into the snare. It's like being on the beach and walking in that tide and all of a sudden not even realizing you try to go back out to your to the place where your towel was and you're a mile away. How did I drift? How did I drift away? How did I drift like this? That's how sin is. Their own leaders too, already accustomed to make a selfish use of their influence, were beginning like Balaam to run greedily after the gain, which could be secured by conciliating the great ones of the earth. And so as the church was leaving her appointed camp of separation, the Lord suddenly appeared in the way and sternly commanded those who were his own to repent. Cast out the Balaamites, lest he himself should be compelled to use his flashing sword. Frederick Cook tells us in 1872, amongst them, we have not only Ashtar, the masculine form of Astarte and identified with Baal, but Astarte herself is spoken of as the king, the sun god. Baal was frequently worshipped as an androgynous deity and not by way of contempt. So when they went out to Baal Peor, you know what they were going out to? A bunch of dancing, half-dressed girls, bad music, and here's this big statue of half-woman, half-man. What kind of spirit do you think that put forth? It put forth a spirit of cross-dressing, a spirit of lesbianism, a spirit of homosexuality. Who knows what those Israelites partook of? How far they went? Who knows? Encyclopedia of Ancient Deity says, Baal Peor was androgynous. We've dug up Moabite stones. Actual stones from Moab, from that very time period. And they called their god Ashtar Chemosh. Half man, half woman. Isn't it interesting that the more worldly a church becomes, the more their boys start looking like women and the more their women start looking like men? Isn't that bizarre? Baal Peor, Baal Peor. Behind it, you got a Balaamite preacher making money off of it. Wow. Youth group, dating night. Wow, this is amazing. Hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people all wanting to dress androgynous. You wouldn't believe what many of them are doing after church. Calmet's dictionary says, Baal Peor is certainly Baal with the distinctive marks of the female sex. To this agrees the impurities of his worship, the changing or the united androgynous sexes of the idols contributed to promote that crime in their worshipers. Why do people tell others it's okay to sin? They want money? Or they're either trying to replace Christianity with a new religion? As I close, I want to let you know something that happened in America. America can be taken over by brute force, right? But there was a time when many enemies of America decided, why not destroy America from within? If we destroy the morality of America, that's an easier destruction than trying to drop bombs on them. Schlafly says in Who Killed the American Family, an Italian communist, Antonio Gramsci, developed the communist strategy in the early 1900s to focus on the culture and thereby destroy Western social structure and overthrow the West from within. A Balaamite type of doctrine. Gramsci attacked our values, our morals, our ethics, our social structure that held our society together. His theory called for media and communications to slowly co-opt the people with a propaganda message through a systematic attack, which he called the slow march through culture. Gramsci theorized that when these institutions are sufficiently damaged, the people will allow totalitarian control of the Western world. Feminists aided this goal by their constant attacks on men, marriage, and the traditional family. So you always see Balaamites and Jezebelites working together, see? The feminists are the Jezebels, and these communists are just like the Belites. Careful study shows that much of the feminism is grounded in Gramscian Marxist communism. They use women to undermine and destroy culture, convincing women they are victims of patriarchy. Of course, patriarchy is just Orwellian newspeak for the social structures and institutions that kept Western civilization together for decades prior to the social decay we see today. So what she's saying is that these communists had a plan, strategy to just, hey, if we can't get them from without by attacking them with bombs, instead of sending spies into America that might get caught, let's just send some people into America to say, party! You are oppressed, women! Dress like a man! Be like a man! Act like a man! Oh, and leave your home. Get out in the workplace. And you fellas, don't worry about your children. Just party. So our music, everything, our culture, everything. Now, I could spend some time and try to find you actual quotes. There's some that are out there that are contested by many in the world. But I would not imagine that communists would just go around telling everybody that this was my plan, though Gramsci pretty much openly admitted what his plan was. But I don't have to give you quotes from communists. You know why? Our very founding fathers. I'm almost done, young people. Our very founding fathers, when they wrote the Constitution and founded our country, Junior, said, I'll show you how to destroy this thing. There's only one way that our Constitution, our country, can remain free, and that's if we stay holy, if we stay a moral people that fears God. So you don't need a quote from Lenin saying this is the way to destroy America. Our very founding fathers told our enemies a couple hundred years ago. You talk America into sin, the whole thing will unravel. The whole thing will unravel. And in the book of Judges, when the people walked in God, they had liberty. When they walked away from God, He turned them over to their enemies, and they had no liberty. See, it's a pretty simple concept, isn't it? Let me show you what our founding fathers said before we close today. John Adams, our second president in 1798. We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Benjamin Rush, signer of the Declaration of Independence. Without virtue, there can be no liberty. Noah Webster, the 1828 Dictionary, says the Christian religion in its purity is the basis, or rather the source, of all genuine freedom in government. And I am persuaded that no civil government of a republican form can exist and be durable in which the principles of that religion have not a controlling influence. And finally, one of the signers, Morris, a signer of the Constitution and the penman, says, I believe that religion is the only solid base of morals and that morals are the only possible support of free governments. And finally, Winthrop, Speaker of the U.S. House. We could continue multiplying quotes, but these will be enough. Men, in a word, must necessarily be controlled either by a power within them or by a power without them, either by the word of God or by the strong arm of man, either by the Bible or by the bayonet. I was telling my children the other night of all the freedoms that I used to know that I've seen taken away just in the past 10 years or 15 years or so. It's amazing to see all the things. And sometimes we don't really realize if we sit back. And then if you go back another 30 years, it's amazing what freedoms we have lost since 1950. I mean, you can't go to a hotel today without a driver's license. You understand that? You can't rent a hotel room without a driver's license. I mean, it's unbelievable. You don't think about things like that. But you have lost so much freedom. And it's continuing to get worse. It's continuing to get worse. And one day, as our whole country is in shackles, I want all the young people, when a whole bunch of people are complaining with their bubble gum in their mouth and saying, how did we get this way? Well, they probably won't have bubble gum. They'll probably just want something to eat, won't they? But they're going to say, how did we get here? I want you young people to tell them, our country was designed to only work for a holy people that feared God. Y'all didn't want to fear God. A whole generation didn't want to fear God. So the whole thing crashed. The whole thing crashed. It's pretty simple. If you don't fear God, God will, He'll send enemy. He'll send a bunch of Muslims over here. You understand that? And everybody's going to wonder, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on is the Midianites are coming. What's going on is you people have been living like hell, and now we're going to be taken over. So, well, what do we do, preacher? Don't believe the liars. Don't believe the false prophets. Get down on your face and let's repent of how much we have partaken of the world, how much we have allowed our children to partake of it, and start repenting and get right before God, and maybe He'll heal our land temporarily. Oh, judgment's coming for those babies. Judgment's coming for the sodomite. All of this is coming to America, but maybe He will give us some mercy for a little while and heal our land if His people repent. The Bible says the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but at their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. The love of money is the root of all evil. Through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. These are the Balaamites. Jeremiah 23, they say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, you shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. That's what the preachers are saying today, when they ought to be saying, you know what, let's get on our face and repent. Every preacher across America, you should have never entered into the pulpit unless you were willing to stand. Oh, no, it was a fearful thing when you entered into the pulpit, buddy. If you did not intend to speak the whole counsel of God, if you want to be like Balaam and justify your sin and your wickedness, go ahead. But I'm going to tell you, you're in a lot of trouble with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, be not many masters, knowing we shall receive the greater condemnation. And so all you preachers out there that want to mock us preachers for having small churches, you go ahead and mock. Your day's coming, buddy. Your day is coming. Ezekiel 13, because with lies you have strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way by promising him life. And Jeremiah complains in Lamentations 2, after the destruction has come, thy prophets have seen vain and foolish things for thee, and they have not discovered thine iniquity to turn away thy captivity, but have seen for thee false burdens and causes of banishments. So when all these bad things come to America, the false prophets are going to stand up and they're going to say, it's not because you are doing this or that, it's just because of bad luck or whatever is the case. My last verse for you today is Romans 12. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you are conformed to this world, you will not be able to hear God. You will not be able to hear God. And that's exactly the problem with Balaam. Balaam was filled with greed and with lust, and he would not repent of it, so he didn't hear God's if. He didn't hear God's if. That's it. I wonder if you'll hear God's if. The Bible says, if you shall fall away, you can't come to repentance. There's a certain hardness that can come upon a believer where he will not repent. He's so hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Now, you little ones, I appreciate you sitting still. I do pray at home. You're getting Bible studies all throughout the week where you have to sit on a couch and be still and put your hands on your lap and not say a word, not move, not wiggle. And I pray you're getting that all week. So this will be nothing new for you when you come in here to church. But you do a good job sitting still, and I appreciate that. We don't have a midweek service right now. We don't have a second service on Sunday. So it might seem like a long sermon, but it's really not when you think about it, okay? So thank you for being still and listening. And now we're going to do some singing. Let's close in prayer. Dear Holy Father, we do thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Father, that you are a God to be feared. Help us, Lord, not to turn your image into Baal Peor, the androgynous God. We thank you, Lord, that you are holy. And, oh, Lord, I pray for these young people. Please, Father, help them to resist the devil and this Balaamite way of justifying sin. Let us not be Jezebels and Balaamites, putting stumbling blocks before one another. Oh no, Lord, let us be true and right. And let us tremble at your word, Lord. We thank you for the Josiahs of the Bible, the Hezekiahs. We thank you for those that called your people to the old paths. Get away from the edge. But God, I've seen so many go the other way and not believe, only to later find out the hard way. I know I'm right, dear Lord, because I know you're right, and you have stated it plainly in your Bible. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive any of us where we might have become stumbling blocks, where we might not have sounded the cry to turn your people away from their sins. Sounded the trumpet, Lord. Bless these little ones. Have mercy upon us and mercy upon our country, dear Lord, for the sake of these young people, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus, thank you for the blood. Thank you for salvation by grace through faith alone. Amen. Well, my little ones.